Let's Talk Letts, an original podcast from the Lettings Hub.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of our podcast, Let's Talk Letts. I'm Heidi, the CEO of the Lettings Hub, the tenant referencing business that got good at technology. Let's Talk Letts is our regular roundup of news and views on a whole range of subjects spanning the private rented sector. For today's podcast, I'm delighted to be joined by Suzanne Smith, who is many things, a private landlord, our very first private landlord, actually, on the pod, a blogger with a huge following, and someone who had an amazing and successful career as a solicitor. Suzanne was also recently appointed as a lay member on the disciplinary panel for the tribunals at Property Mark in January. Suzanne's blog, The Independent Landlord, has thousands of subscribers with many extra viewers and is an excellent resource for anyone within the private rental sector, as it contains a whole wealth of experience and superb advice. So let's get started. Suzanne, thank you so much for joining me today. Please introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell them more about yourself and where the idea of the Independent Landlord blog originally came from.
Thank you. So I worked, as you said, as a solicitor for 25 years in industry in the pharmaceutical sector. And I reached 50, was going through the menopause and suddenly was wondering what on earth I was doing with my life, and decided to do something completely different. So I retired, in inverted commas, and I enrolled on a French degree at King's College London, which I did. And I enjoyed very much. But I wanted to have an independent income for myself. And I wasn't the type that would be spending lots of time on the golf course or tennis. So I decided that a good way to earn an income for myself was to invest my ill-gotten gains from my time as a lawyer and become a landlord. And I already had an investment property because for my last job, it was in Cambridge, which was 100 miles from where I live in Kent. And I'd bought a flat there thinking that when I retire, I could let it out. So that was already in my brain. And so I started buying more properties, houses near where I live in Kent, to try and give myself an income. And I found it actually, well, to begin with, I used letting agents for tenant finds, and they were good because I was completely clueless. And I remember it was a time when EICRs were coming in and but there was an unsatisfactory one, and the letting agents were really useful helping me through that. And then I continued using them. But then there was a change in personnel and the service went downhill. And I had a bit more time then. And one of my tenants said to me, well, why don't you try and do it yourself? And so I started doing it myself, but found it really difficult to find reliable information what to do. And I set up an account on Instagram and started getting lots of questions from people. And I thought, well, why don't I set up a blog to explain, wearing my legal hat, answering questions that I had myself when I started up and that people have been asking me for. So there's the story.
Excellent. Amazing. Amazing journey. So obviously up until about 5 years ago, you said you obviously used to be a solicitor, no doubt working really long hours, needing to get into the absolute detail of every single case you were working on. We've obviously heard the story about what made you move from kind of a corporate career to a self-managing portfolio, and obviously then becoming a blogger. But what have you really kind of been the key things that you've learned along the way, and where do you still think landlords may get it wrong?
I think that there are too many landlords who've been on property courses and they've been told how to get an investment property without using much of their own money and recycling the deposit, and they're spread really, really thin. And they spend a lot of time on these property courses on the investment side, but not enough on the management side and the responsibilities of a landlord. And I see it in some of the Facebook groups that I lurk in and offer my advice sometimes. And they just don't have a clue. And when you think that there are 2.5 million landlords and only just over 100,000 are members of the NRLA, so that's a huge amount of landlords who haven't had training. And I think that landlords need to, even if they use letting agents, they need to be educated. And I don't mean that educated in terms of having a property education and how to invest. I mean to be educated on what the responsibilities are to be a landlord, even if they use agents, because landlords need to manage the managers who manage their properties.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, being a landlord and a blogger is obviously now your primary role. But we know that that isn't the case for all other landlords. Some obviously are juggling full-time jobs alongside property management. And unless everything has gone totally smoothly with, you know, very problem-free tenants, there's always going to be a lot to do for and a lot for a landlord to consider. So what are your top tips that you would give to a landlord if they are choosing to appoint a letting agent or some external help? What do they really need to look out for?
This is a really good question, because unfortunately there are a lot of rogue agents out there, and you look on the website, they've got all the logos there, and you think, oh, they're wonderful, they belong to Arla Property Mark. And then if you double check on Arla Property Mark, they're not registered. And that actually happened last week. A subscriber contacted me, and they didn't have their money protected in a client money protection scheme. So I think that the first important thing is to do due diligence on a letting agent, not just go for the first one that comes along. And they can have a look at the website and double check all of the references, whether they're a member of the property ombudsman or the PRS, etc. That's all the kind of basic diligence. Is this a legitimate business? So that's the first thing. Second thing is they should look for somebody, an agent who genuinely prioritizes customer service and a customer front and center. So that means the landlord and the letting agent. And the next one is people who work in the business are qualified, because we all know that you can join as an agency Property Mark, but it doesn't mean that every single person in the business has their level 3 qualification. And you may be working on a day to day with somebody who is new and doesn't have any training. And I recommend people to do a mystery shop. So to call up and to pretend to be a tenant and just see how you're treated. Can you get through on the phone? How helpful are people? What type of questions do they ask? And really ask around as well. The problem is that a lot of the online reviews aren't always terribly reliable, but ask other landlords, because there are good landlords around, good letting agents around, and I know a lot of them.
So would you encourage a landlord to ask for a reference from another client of the letting agent? Does that ever happen?
That is a very good idea, but I would always be slightly dubious, because they'd ask somebody that it's gone well. It is really difficult for landlords, particularly when they start off, because if they make the wrong decision and have an agent that they're not happy with, typically they're locked in. And it's very difficult for them to get out of the agreement. There might be a rent collection service that you have to pay a big renewal every year, or there might be property management where you either can't terminate or you have to pay a big withdrawal fee. And so landlords might be unhappy with the service, not so much that it's a breach of contract, but they're just a bit rubbish. And they can't get out. And this is actually the topic that I get the most contact from landlords about, is being locked into agreements with letting agents that they're unhappy with. And I think because we're going through a lot of change, particularly with the end of fixed term tenancies, that letting agents really need to think about this, about how they retain customers, and not by locking them in, but by doing a really good job.
That's actually coming on to one of my next questions, really. So letting agents obviously really value landlords as their clients. They obviously provide the income, the only income now, really, apart from potentially a little bit of ancillary services to their business after obviously the Tenant Fees Act came in back in 2019. So for any of our letting agent listeners, what would you advise them in terms of if they're hoping to win over a landlord to use their services, or to win a landlord from self-management, where can a letting agent add most value to a landlord?
Letting agents can add value by really fantastic property management. And so that means doing really, really good inspections. with detailed reports, and not just one a year, and not just focused on is the tenant doing something wrong, but having a look at the fabric of the building, because that is what we care about as landlords. Obviously, we want our tenants to be happy. But when I go around a building, I think, oh, you know, that downpipe there is slightly misaligned. I need to get that sorted out. So to look after the asset, to look after the tenants, to wow the tenants, so that when the tenants report something, it gets dealt with straight away. The biggest hassle I have as a self-managing landlord is getting contractors in to do small jobs, because they hate it. They don't mind doing a refurb, although some of them don't even like refurbs, they just like new builds. And so if the agents can manage all of that sort of thing, but make sure they get good value for money and don't put massive fees on the top, because you might replace a boiler and end up having an extra 10% added where there's no real value for that for the landlord. And I don't mind agents charging for managing building works and things, as long as they actually manage, which means going there and checking it and talking it through with the builders. Whereas if it's just somebody being a call centre, charging 10% for replacing windows or replacing a boiler, I don't think is very good value for a landlord. So it really is about customer service and making it easy for the landlord, being transparent about fees, and not trying to increase them. And like these compliance charges, the 10% or not 10%, you know, £10 or whatever it is every month that some letting agents charge on top of the basic fee, that causes enragement among landlords, because it's what we're paying for anyway. And when you look at it, sometimes it says, oh, to check if you need to have an HMO license and all this sort of thing, where it's a single let. And just be transparent about the fees and not try and introduce all of these ones through the back door. There's lots of ideas.
Lots of ideas. What do you think is going to happen in the market? Obviously, it's not exactly known the number of landlords that do and don't use an agent, but let's assume for the purpose of now, it's pretty split 50-50. Do you think it's going to stay that way, or do you think landlords are going to self-manage more than they currently do now because of the cost? Or do you think, because legislation is going to change again, that landlords are going to look for more specialist advice and turn to an agent?
Landlords are on very thin margins, and most landlords, I think the average yield is something like 6%. And by the time that they paid a mortgage, and you've got a lot of them who can't even set the full costs against tax. And there are a lot of landlords now who really are questioning, should they continue being a landlord? And they are looking at every cost, and property management is a big cost. And also at the same time, you've got technology improvements that's making it easier for landlords to self-manage. So you have the likes of OpenRent, the NRLA have launched their service, and you've got things like Hello Neighbor. They've got their, in some parts of the country, they have their fixed price property management. And I think that some landlords will be tempted to do self-management, but of course self-management is not for the is not for the faint-hearted, because it is actually a lot of work, and you do need to understand what you're doing, what all the legal obligations are, because it's very easy to fall foul of the various laws. And with the Renters Reform Bill coming in, there's going to be a whole lot more there as well. So I think that it's going to change for letting agents, because with the abolition of fixed term contracts, there's not going to be this whole fiction really of the annual renewal, because as we all know, when a fixed term tenancy ends, it goes on to a periodic if you do nothing. But letting agents have been making money each year by doing a renewal. Some of them don't charge much. It's, you know, £200-£300 or something to renegotiate the rent and to do another AST, whereas others, they bundle it into the rent collection service, and it's a huge cost. You wonder whether it's going to make landlords think twice about signing up for long-term contracts, because if they can only get guaranteed 6 months and they've got these huge upfront costs, or they're locked in for a long period, then it does make it less economic. So the let only option, where, and what I mean by that is where you pay an upfront lump sum for an agent to find a tenant and there's nothing else, so there's no rent collection. I think that's going to become less popular because people won't be wanting to pay the full amount when they don't even get a full year. So for instance, when I did let only with the agents before, I worked out that the cost to me with everything included, the inventory and everything, was about 13% of the first year's rent. That's a lot of money if the tenant can leave after 6 months. Yeah. So I don't know whether agents will encourage landlords to move on to property management or rent collection. So then there's not so much risk if the landlord needs to find another tenant because the tenant moves out after 6 months.
I think obviously the services that a letting agent offers, although obviously very bespoke to those individual agents, like we said, are largely the same. And actually the structure of those services haven't really changed a huge amount. Most of them offer a 3 or 4 tier service, i.e. You can tenant find, you can do the rent collection, or you can obviously fully manage the property, or you can fully manage the property with all your rent guaranteed and everything yeah. else. Do you think, therefore, based on what you've said and what landlords really want, that actually those tiers actually really need looking at? Because actually maybe the agents are not offering what a landlord really wants?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I don't see why landlords would want to continue paying so much for a tenant find. And when I looked at the figures from the last English private landlord survey, and it must be said that that survey, it was on a really small sample, and it was only on landlords who register the deposit in their own name. And so that's a subset of a subset. But they had the figures that 45% of landlords use letting agents for tenant finds and only 18% have them for property management. Now, I think those figures are too low, but it gives an idea that, you know, more landlords use agents for tenant finds than they do for property management, at yeah. least on those figures. I think that the numbers for of landlords who will use agents for tenant finds will go down. There is a huge disquiet among landlords about being tied into long-term contracts, and that is such a big topic. It's something that's talked about in all the forums. I've had so many people contact me about it, and being tied into a long-term agreement means that the agent isn't actually incentivized to provide a good service, really, because they've got a customer come what may until the tenant leaves. So I really think that agents need to focus on service and word of mouth recommendations rather than what happens at the moment, or don't use that one because they do this, that and the other.
I suppose it's got to be proportional to what service is provided, isn't it? Because again, at the start of a let, there's obviously a lot more work for an agent to do or a landlord to do than there is necessarily ongoing. And that maybe is why it's a little bit heavier at the front. But let's kind of go on to the Renters Reform Bill, because you've mentioned that.
Yes.
So whether and when that will be fully introduced and what it will exactly look like, I don't think obviously any of us know yet. But there's obviously, we have a fairly a kind of rough idea. I was going to say clear idea. I'm not going to say that because I think there's going to be changes, but a rough idea about what's going to kind of come in and what's been promised. What do we need to do now as a market to get ready for these changes? Is it a case of wake up, it's coming, prepare? Or is it still okay to bury our head in the sand maybe until it lands?
Well, definitely not that. And we do need to prepare, and that and all the letting agents need to manage change and do lots of training for their staff, because things are going to be very different. Because if it comes into effect, it's going to fundamentally rebalance the relationship between tenants and landlords. It's going to make it more equal, and tenants will be able to terminate easily with 2 months notice, probably after the first 6 months if that amendment comes in, whereas landlords won't be able to terminate unless they have a good reason, one of the new grounds. And so it means that if the landlord does want to terminate an agreement with a tenant, they have to have all the documentation in place. And that would be very useful to have good letting agents to document all of that, all of the records of when things, repairs were reported, and late payments and all that sort of thing. I also think that tenant selection is going to be absolutely important. With the Renters Reform Bill, if you make the wrong choice on a tenant, you're potentially stuck with them. And unless they're so bad that they fall under one of the new grounds, or the landlord wants to sell up or move family in, then you're stuck with them. So this, in many respects, maybe this is like the golden nugget that letting agents can offer landlords, is tenant selection, because you're going to have to be so careful. Now, it's really going to be difficult for people who have adverse credit history or don't have regular jobs, because landlords won't want to take a chance, because they're going to be ultra cautious on choosing new tenants. So I think that this is actually an unintended consequence of the Renters Reform Bill. It's going to make it difficult for that section of tenants that really should be in social housing. And I don't know what's going to happen there. But this is something where letting agents can add value in, is having all the documentation, looking after the portal, uploading all the documents, making sure that's all right, all the compliance things. Because if landlords don't upload everything properly to the portal, that's, there are lots more offences. So it is an opportunity for agents to show landlords that they can really help them and add value here.
OK, thank you. And obviously, the golden nugget actually plays to our favour. So if anybody needs any help with tenant selection or tenant referencing, well, I know a fantastic company that can help you. We are on standby for any letting agent or any landlord that may need it. And I do think it is really important, because there's a lot more factors now than ever for us to check in a reference than ever before. And that is for good reason. We have to have a reference that can pass what we say is a landlord test. If you were stood in front of your very best landlord as an agent, to be able to explain to them all the checks that you had done to try and make sure that you had definitely put the very best person into their property. So let's move on now, because not only have obviously you have got a hugely successful blog, you have also just launched your very own podcast, Good Landlording, and that's with Richard Jackson from Alpha Letts. Tell us a little bit more about that. I think you've just released your first episode. So what more do you have kind of in the pipeline? What have you got planned for us?
Well, it's very exciting. And Richard and I have two very different types of landlords. He's got a big portfolio of flats and he's been in it for 25 years. I have a small portfolio of houses and I've been in it for 5 years. I'm a lawyer. He's a tech expert. And so each week we take a different topic and we're trying to be really practical. So for the first two episodes, we're talking about, the first one is what makes a good tenant. And then the second one is how to select tenants. So very much what we've been talking about now. And we do talk about referencing being very important, what landlords can do and what letting agents can do to get really good tenants. And then the next couple of episodes are on letting agents. The episode 3 is letting agents 101, and explaining how to spot rogue letting agents, what we look for in letting agents. And then episode 4, because we're recording them in advance, episode 4 is explaining all the different types of services, and also my favorite, the Consumer Rights Act 2015, having a discussion about unfair contract terms. But we're going to be just talking about lots of things about property management, self-management, should landlords buy flats or houses. These are all the practical things about what landlords should look out for, and we're both learning a lot from each other as we're talking. So it's fun every week, every Wednesday, and it's about 20 minutes long.
Oh, we release ours on a Wednesday. That must be a good day. So good. I wish you all the best with it.
Thank
it
you.
Definitely sounds. We'll definitely listen, because I'm sure we're going to pick up things as well. I'm sure actually our listeners, you mentioned obviously a smaller portfolio of houses, but I'm sure our listeners would be fascinated to hear a little bit more about the type of properties that you are invested in and why, and what sort of tenants, when you're looking for a tenant, are kind of the key things that you look out for in terms of trying to pick the right people to move in.
Right. Well, I decided to go for Victorian houses. It's a bit of a personal reason here. When we first bought our house in London in 1994, it was a Victorian house and we really loved it. Nice big rooms. It was a fantastic family place to live in. And near where I live in Maidstone, there are lots of these very similar three-bedroom houses, Victorian houses, that are lovely places to live in. And they're not like new builds. They have all that extra room and you don't have to worry about estate charges leasehold houses, etc. We're also going to be talking about that on the podcast. So I decided to try and find houses in nice roads that are near the station. In Maidstone, we have four grammar schools, all walking distance to the grammar schools. So my target tenants, they're families, although I do let to somebody who's not family, but that's what I'm geared up for. I don't do HMOs. I don't want the hassle. And I actually enjoy letting to families. I want long-term tenants, people that will stay there forever and put down roots in the communities. And what I look for, I wouldn't say that I'm particularly targeting professionals. It's anyone who I think are good, decent people that will look after the property, that they'll pay the rent, they can afford it. It's not a stretch for them. And they're all very different backgrounds, but they're all good people. And some of them I got by using agents. And even though the agent did all the selection, everything, I still met them beforehand and that worked really well, and they're still there, and so that's what I look for, and they're all really lovely. I've never had one day's rent arrears.
Oh wow, excellent. Well, I think you've definitely touch wood. yeah let's hope it always stays that way. I don't think everyone is as lucky, so you obviously have selected well done. I think we've obviously learned a lot, and I think it's kind of given us quite a few different things to think about. I definitely think the industry and the market's in for some change, and obviously I hope landlords stick around in one guise or another to keep providing the housing that is obviously so desperately needed, I think, in the UK. But before you go, our regular listeners will know that we always end every pod by asking if you have a funny story or anecdote that you would share with us.
I do love your anecdotes at the end, and I don't have any princesses. I think there was one that was a princess. I don't have any anecdotes about tenants, but I do have a funny letting agent one. It was during lockdown and I got this panicked call. I was trying to find a new tenant. So it's because somebody was moving out. They couldn't afford the rent anymore. They're in the middle of a fixed term contract. I let them go because I'm a nice person. And the letting agent had gone in and was doing all the checks before we let it. And then he said, there's no smoke. There's no carbon monoxide alarm in the front room. And I said, well, why do you need one in the front room? He said, there's a fireplace there. And I said, it's a fake fireplace.
Oh,
it was blocked up. Poor love. You know, it was very stressful because it was during lockdown when people having to wear masks, but that did make me laugh, and every time I go there I look at it, it's this you know, it's blocked up, it's not a functional fireplace.
No risk. Okay, thank you very much, Suzanne, and I wish you all the luck with your blog as it grows in number, I'm sure, and obviously your pod as it develops. So to all of our listeners, to ensure you never miss an episode of Let's Talk Let, please follow us on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast, and please leave us a review. Thank you all very much for listening.
Let's Talk Let, an original podcast from the Lettings Hub.